Okay, let's get started then. Be quiet. Right, so I want to continue today. Shut up! I want to continue today. I'm sorry about the light. I don't think there's anything I can do about that. I want to continue a little bit. Shut up! I want to continue a little bit talking about schools, a little more information about schools. A little more information about schools, and then I want to talk to you about universities in Britain today. I left you with the situation of schools after the big reform in the 1960s, the comprehensive schools, the same school for everybody in the same part of town. In the last 20 years, this has changed somewhat. There is now a big diversity of schools. The government thinks it's a good idea to have competition between different schools. Competition between different schools. And also, the Labour government, vous vous rappelez peut-être que c'était parti un gouvernement de travail issu jusqu'à l'année dernière, the Labour government wanted to encourage faith schools. This is rather unusual, you might think. A Labour government, in theory, a socialist government, and they wanted more religious schools. It's very different from France. New Labour, they believed that religious schools were more disciplined, more serious, etc. And so there were more Christian schools under the Labour Party than under the Conservative Party. It's a little bit surprising. So New Labour, from 1997 to 2010, the government wanted to encourage diversity, encourage competition, and encourage, in particular, faith schools. Donc, littéralement, des écoles de la foi. Faith schools, religious schools. Almost all of them are Christian. And a few Muslim, a few Jewish schools. The other thing which the government said is they said it's better if schools specialise in a particular subject. You know, in France also, you have some schools, some collèges, which are specialised. You study all the different subjects, but you have more time for sports, or more time for music. And in the same way, the British government wanted more specialised schools. And today, 90% of schools are specialised schools. Now, if you go to a specialised school, you still do many different subjects, mathematics, English, science. But if your school is specialised in music, you might have 5 or 6 hours a week of music. Now, why specialised schools? Notice it's very different from the French idea, which is really that all schools should be the same, should have the same programme. Whereas New Labour believed that different programmes, more specialisation is a good thing. It's a matter of opinion. It's a political question. And finally, they also allowed the creation of privately sponsored academies. These are not, they're not exactly private schools, because you don't pay to go to an academy, but they are organised by private companies. And what happens in England today is if you have a school which has very bad exam results for 5 years, they close the school and they ask a private company to open the school again, to choose the teachers, and to manage the school for 10 years. And if they get better exam results, okay. So a very unusual system. There are some schools like this in America. It's an American sort of idea. The idea that it is not a private school, because people do not pay, but the organization is exactly like a business. And so the company can say, we want a mathematics teacher. We will pay a very high salary because it's difficult to find mathematics teachers. We also want a history teacher, but we will pay a very low salary because there are many history teachers. Thank you. Here you have a graph which shows the specialist schools in England. Je suis désolé, il y a un peu de lumière, mais je vais vous l'expliquer quand même. En bas, on a les dates de 94 à 2010. Et les couleurs, c'est les différentes spécialités des collèges. So you can see that the purple schools are specialized in technology. You can see there are more schools today specialized in technology. I'll just repeat, if you go to a technology school, you do mathematics and English and history, but a lot more technology. And you have specialized schools in de bas en haut, technology, language, arts, sports, business and enterprise, engineering, maths and computing, science, humanities and music. Donc les plus gros, vous voyez les plus gros, c'est technology, arts, business and enterprise. Those are the big ones. So this is a new idea from New Labour. They say it's better if all schools are different and are specialised. It's a kind of business idea. Businesses work better if they're specialised. And New Labour thought businesses, schools, it's a similar thing. Now, today, from last year, we have a new government. It's a Conservative government. It's a coalition between the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party. The Prime Minister is David Cameron. In general, they have the same education policy as the government before, but they have some new ideas, and here are some of them. Il y avait une liste de 10 sur le site du Parti conservateur, je me suis dit 5, ça suffit. First of all, they have a special program called Teach First to try to get the best people from university into teaching. Because one of the problems is that because teaching is not very well paid and not very easy, regardez-moi, vous voyez comme je souffre, okay, not very easy, then it can be difficult to find teachers. And so they have a special program. Look at number two, a new program, Troops to Teachers, for former members of the armed forces. This is very original and different. Perhaps you know, if you are a soldier in the army, when you are 35, that's enough of being a soldier. You retire very young when you're a soldier. And they have a special program. They want ex-soldiers to become teachers. Okay?
Alors, j'ai ma mitraillette là, alors attention.
Okay. So, obviously, this is rather a conservative idea. The idea that soldiers will be good teachers is rather a conservative idea. I don't know if they are good teachers or not, but it's an interesting fact. L'avant-dernier, allowing schools to reward good teachers and deal with underperforming teachers, this is to say they want teachers to have different salaries. In France, if you are a history teacher, a Spanish teacher, or a math teacher, after 5 years, you have exactly the same salary. It's a national salary. The same salary for every Spanish teacher in France who has 5 years' experience. This is completely different. In Britain, the headmaster, the manager of the school, can give you more money because I like your maths classes, and you less money because your English classes are not very interesting. So, again, very much a business model. Et tout en bas, they decided that if you go to university and your results are not very good, you don't have the mention très bien or the mention quelque chose, then they won't pay for your training as a teacher. So different managerial changes in how you organize education. These are some of the new ideas of the new Conservative government. But it is not a very big change in schools. We will see in universities there is a big change, an extremely big change. Vous voyez peut-être une expression là que vous ne connaissez pas, high flyers. High flyers, ce sont les gens les plus doués. High flyers. Donc ils veulent attirer les plus doués, les gens d'autres secteurs, pour qu'ils deviennent enseignants. C'est pas grave si vous n'avez pas tous les mots. Hein. Let's have a look at universities. I know you love universities. Everybody loves universities. Alors, je voulais tout d'abord vous faire remarquer la grande différence entre l'Angleterre et la France. Et c'est qu'en France, si vous avez le bac, en principe, vous avez le droit à une place à l'université. En Angleterre, pas du tout. It's selective. You can ask London University, here are my marks, can I have a place? And they say no. And you go to Manchester University, okay. Yeah. You negotiate, you have your marks, and you negotiate in different places. So it's a very different concept. Ça même depuis tout temps. But recently, with the neoliberal reforms, the difference is even bigger. Yeah? Not exactly. Money is not enough. You must have the diplomas. Yeah, you cannot just buy, but money certainly helps. Money helps, but you cannot buy a university place. No. No. Oh yeah. You can go to the best university if you have good marks. Yes. Afterwards, it gets more complicated, I will show you. Okay, so first of all... Hello? Stay with us, thank you. The first thing is something which is just the same in Britain and in France, and that is that the number of universities has risen massively over the last 30, 40, 50 years. This is because today, industry and technology is very complicated, and we need you to go to university so that you can understand the computing and the business and the law. It's much more complicated than before. It's much more international, it's much more sophisticated, and also, a lot of manufacturing is now not in Western Europe, and so in Western Europe there's a lot of work in banking, finance, insurance, and that's very complex. Thank you. Alors, on va voir si vous pouvez passer 5 minutes sans aucune conversation. Vous allez voir comment c'est amusant. So in 1960, there were only 23 British universities. And today, there are 87 universities and 64 other institutions. About 1.5 million full-time students. However, it is interesting to note that there are only two private universities in Britain. Only two. It is not significant. There are 87 universities, two are private. Private universities are not successful, really, because they are too expensive. No company wants to pay for them. Yeah? The two. I can't remember. There are two private universities. Only two, but I can't remember. Ils ne sont pas célèbres. Every year, 45% of a year group, yeah, of the people born in...
Je me trompe toujours quand vous êtes né.
Of the people born in 1990 in Britain, 45% are in university or other kinds of higher education. That's a lot of people, but in France it's more. You have more students in France, and more students in Germany, and more students in Japan. The British government is a little worried that they don't have enough students. This is because, as I say, companies today, they want you to be really very sharp. Even in the United States, there are more. Now, however, when I went to university in 1979, it was wonderful. The government gave me money to live. I never worked, and my parents paid nothing, which is good because they had no money. I went to Cambridge University, which is an expensive university with wonderful libraries. I paid nothing, and they paid me. This is not the situation today. The situation of students has got much, much worse. So before 1990, students often received enough money in grants so that they did not have to work while studying. A grant is money you receive from the government for studying. But when I went to university, the grant was enough to live on. No need to work. Even in the holidays, I didn't work. And I didn't study very much either. However, the bad news is that today, for most people in Britain, you cannot receive a grant. You can only receive a loan. Un prêt. Alors, il y a presque plus de bourse, c'est les prêts. Now the loans are rather special loans. Ils se rendent compte que les étudiants ils ont pas d'argent. Alors les banques normales vont pas vous prêter 20 000 euros parce qu'ils sont pas bêtes. So they are special loans from the government, from a government company, and they loan you. For example, you are in the first year at Applied Languages. Perhaps you need, I don't know, how much money do you need? 10,000 euros a year to live on. 12,000. 12,000 euros a year to live on. It's not a lot, is it? 15,000, okay. So you can borrow 15,000 pounds from the government and you will pay it when you are older. You will pay it when you have a job, okay? As soon as you have a job with more than 20,000 euros a year, then you must pay the money back.
Alors parfois, on ne rembourse que 10 ans après. Mais on doit rembourser.
There are still a minority of poor students who can receive a grant. The other detail, entre parenthèses, la plupart des étudiants, la grande majorité des étudiants en Angleterre ne vivent pas avec leurs parents. Levez la main si vous vivez avec vos parents. Ah, c'est beaucoup. En Angleterre, il y a dans le même truc, vous serez trois. L'objectif d'aller à la fac en Angleterre, c'est de plus vivre avec les parents. Oui, c'est le rêve. C'est pas grave, le texte n'est pas très important là. This is the advert. Taisez-vous. Silence. Voilà. This is the advert for the student loans company. The student loans company is like a government bank, and they lend a lot of money to students, and they receive money from older students once they have a job. Of course, this change, this fact that now you cannot get a grant and you must take a loan, is not very popular. And so there have been a series of demonstrations. Here you have some demonstrations. Alors c'est marqué grants, not fees. Nous voulons recevoir des bourses, nous ne voulons pas payer des frais d'inscription. Alors, les frais d'inscription en Angleterre, on dit tuition fees. Et notez bien que mot à mot, ce n'est pas du tout frais d'inscription, c'est frais d'enseignement. Parce que ici, vous payez vos frais d'inscription, ce n'est pas le prix des profs et tout ça. C'est loin de ça, ça c'est une petite porte, c'est les frais administratifs. Mais en Angleterre, on est censé maintenant payer le vrai coût de l'éducation. Et on va voir ça dans un instant. So these are the demonstrations. Fight the fees. Il faut combattre les frais d'inscription. And grants, not fees. This is what happens when you borrow money from the student loans company. It is repaid directly out of your wages. Alors, c'est prélevé sur votre salaire. Quand le moment vient de rembourser, c'est prélevé sur votre salaire. Alors, je ne sais pas ce qui se passe si vous cassez l'Australie ou quelque chose. Il faudrait essayer. Mais à mon avis, vous n'aurez jamais plus le droit de revenir. OK, c'est prélevé sur votre salaire. 9% of your earnings. Alors, c'est un petit peu comme un impôt reporté. Taisez-vous. Voilà, on va rester comme ça parce que c'est trop difficile de travailler sinon. Je sais que c'est la fin de la journée, vous êtes fatigué, et ben moi aussi. And so, repayments continue. Repayments continue until you have finished paying or until you have been paying for 25 years. So you spend 4 years at the university and you pay for 25 years the loan. Or, when you reach 65 years old, you don't have to pay anymore. Okay, so it's quite a violent change, and this is a very sudden change. Tout ce changement dans l'espace de 15 ans. Yeah? So quite a big change. Alors, ça c'était un peu pour l'argent pour vivre pendant que les étudiants, mais il y a aussi les frais, donc les frais d'inscription, on va voir. The New Labour government introduced then tuition fees, and this year, donc 2010, d'accord, l'année dernière, they were up to £3,290 a year, donc autour de quoi, 4000 euros par an. Yeah, you had to pay 4,000 euros every year to go to university. It's a lot of money. Of course, the government said, don't worry, we will lend you the money. But a lot of people say, oh well, it's too much, I don't want so much debt, I'm not going to university. And the new Conservative government has said, we are in a terrible crisis, the financial crisis, etc., etc. So we are going to triple the fees. Donc l'année qui commence là en 2012, ils multiplient les frais par trois. They triple the fees. It's a lot of money. And so from next year you will be able to pay up to maximum £9,000 a year, 11,000 euros à peu près. Chaque année. Now remember that the government thinks that a business model is a good way. Thank you. That a business is a good way to organize education, and so the price will be different for different courses. Oh, hello, I want to do history.
History, that's £9,000.
Oh, how much is geography?
£7,000.
Yeah, it will be a business kind of negotiation, that it will be a different cost for different courses and for different universities. Of course, Cambridge University will be very expensive, and I don't know, Preston University will be relatively cheap. So what does this mean? Two big changes. One, loans instead of grants, and two, very expensive tuition fees. Donc un peu comme aux États-Unis, parce qu'en Europe ça n'existe pas. Ce genre de fait à cette hauteur n'existe pas, mais aux États-Unis si. So a bit of an American system. And what does that mean? Well, it says at the bottom, really, this shows a vision of higher education as a personal investment in one's career and not as a public service or a citizen's rights. Alors l'idée, la vision du gouvernement, c'est que aller à la fac, c'est un investissement pour votre carrière. Alors il est normal, disent-ils, que vous payiez, et voilà, et nous on vous aide, on vous prêtons de l'argent. So it's a completely different vision of the university. And of course, one of the difficulties here is that some subjects give you a good salary and some don't. You can imagine that a department of philosophy is going to have difficulty getting students because they have to pay a lot of money and they might not make a lot. So this is a big difficulty. When I went to university, we discussed with my friends, what are you going to do at university? And everybody chose a subject because they liked it. À l'époque, on n'avait pas besoin de dire est-ce qu'il y a des débouchés, parce que tout, il n'y avait pas de chômage alors. Il y avait toujours un boulot. Et c'était un peu les bons vieux temps. Silence. Ok, si vous êtes vraiment, vraiment fatigué là au fond, allez faire autre chose ailleurs. Ok, let's have a look a little more at these universities. Les derniers détails concernant alors les dettes. In 2010, English students who left university, on average, owed £14,730. Alors ça c'est avant qu'ils aient été les frais d'inscription. Hein. L'étudiant moyen a quitté la fac en devant 18 000 euros. To the student loans company. In Scotland, however, much less. The average for Scottish students was only £6,000.
Est-ce qu'il y a des gens dans la salle qui sont endettés de plus de 20 000 euros? Pas trop, hein? C'est vrai que ça semble beaucoup. Moi je suis.
Okay. Alors, ça c'était pour les prêts. Maintenant, pour les frais d'inscription, the tuition fees which you must pay to go to university are much lower in Wales and in Scotland. In Wales, the maximum is £1,200 a year.
C'est combien traité actuellement les frais d'inscription à peu près?
400.
Okay, so, and in Scotland, zero. In Scotland, there are no fees at all.
Donc, je vous avais montré une autre statistique qui montrait que les étudiants écossais avaient des dettes, mais ça, c'est des dettes par rapport à des frais pour vivre. Ça, c'est les frais. Il n'y a pas de frais d'inscription.
This is because, perhaps you know, today there is a separate parliament for Scotland and for Wales, which have some power. We will be looking at this in a few weeks' time. The last thing is that it has to be said that in general, working conditions in British universities are much better than they are here. The library is bigger. Très souvent, c'est des classes de 12-15 personnes. It's generally better from that point of view. I know you have big classes here.
Vous reconnaissez peut-être le drapeau écossais et le drapeau gallois là.
So, let's imagine that you have paid all this money and borrowed a lot of money and you are going to university in England. What happens next? Well, the first university diploma you can get is a degree. Normally, a degree is 3 years at university. La comparaison n'est pas facile parce que l'Angleterre commence une année plus tard en France. If you pass, you become a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of Science. That is your first degree.
En règle générale, c'est beaucoup plus spécialisé qu'une licence en France.
Alors, vous faites moins de matière et beaucoup plus approfondi en général. Remember the vocabulary. The vocabulary to pass, c'est réussir. C'est pas passer un examen, c'est réussir un examen. Vous allez passer. To pass an examen, sorry, to pass an exam, c'est réussir un examen.
Occasionally, you can have a 4-year course with a sandwich year in industry or overseas.
When I went to university, I had 2 years at university, then 1 year in Spain, and then another year in university. That's a 4-year sandwich course. Or sometimes the sandwich course is that you have 6 months or a year in a job.
Donc un stage, we say in English, an industrial placement. Un stage en entreprise, an industrial placement. Because that's my understanding. If you do,
si vous faites une licence en LOA, vous devez faire un stage en allemand?
Yeah, it's a similar sort of idea.
Okay. Also, most people choose a university a long way from home.
Vous pouvez choisir n'importe quelle université dans tout le pays. Et en général, les jeunes de votre âge, ils regardent les universités, ils enlèvent tout ce qui est à moins de 100 km, et puis ils essaient de décider par les autres, parmi les autres, parce que l'objectif, c'est de se casser de chez soi.
Là, je vais vous le lire, mais le détail n'est pas grave. I found this on the internet. This is a university who offer a degree in applied languages.
C'est peu langues étrangères appliquées, hein?
Applied languages. And this is what they do at this university. In semester 1, 2, and 3, you will spend the first 3 semesters in the university getting a foundation in your 2 or 3 chosen languages and societies in which these languages are spoken, as well as in linguistics, which is the science of language, and in your elective subject comes les options. In addition, you will acquire core skills in academic writing and communication methodology. It's not very different from what you do, I don't think. Semesters 4 and 5, you will be on a work placement for the first semester.
Donc voilà, ça va être en stage
en entreprise. And you will be studying in a university for the second semester.
Et un semestre à une autre université ailleurs. Souvent à l'étranger.
Working and studying abroad gives you a fantastic opportunity to deepen your linguistic skills and cultural knowledge. So normally, you would have a semester in a company and a semester abroad. Also sometimes teaching in a school.
C'est vrai que les étudiants en Angleterre qui étudient les langues ont un avantage
Parce que tous les collèges et lycées de la France aimeraient bien avoir un assistant anglais. Et en Allemagne, en Italie aussi. Tandis que si vous, vous vouliez enseigner dans un collège en Angleterre, un, vous êtes en concurrence avec tous les Allemands et les Italiens, etc., qui veulent venir. Hein. Et puis deux, les Anglais s'en foutent tellement d'apprendre des langues qu'il n'y a pas beaucoup de place. Ok, so, once you have finished the first 3 years and you have a degree, congratulations. If you wish, and if you have enough money, you can continue to take a 1 or 2 year postgraduate course, a Master of Arts or a Master of Science. Donc un master, hein, puisque maintenant c'est la même chose en France. And notice that this is involving some original research, qui comporte de la recherche originale. C'est-à-dire un mémoire, et un mémoire, la définition d'un mémoire, c'est que vous écrivez sur un sujet que personne n'a touché. C'est ça le but, c'est l'objectif. Donc la recherche, that's not yet. You're only in the first year, it's too early. Il y a un cas qui s'endort là-haut. Okay, so once you have finished your degree or your master's, once you have finished your degree or your master's, then you receive your diploma. Et vous avez vu ces cérémonies bizarres. C'est très à la mode en Angleterre. On a fait dès qu'on a une licence, on se déguise avec le chapeau et tout ça. Moi, je ne l'ai pas fait. Moi, j'ai attendu que ça arrive par courrier. Je déteste ça. Mais beaucoup de gens aiment beaucoup. Et généralement, les parents, par la suite, ils ont la photo au-dessus de la cheminée à venir. I don't like that. Silence. Okay. I know in France, you have a very informal system. You go and look on the notice. But, oh, good. I got it. Yeah. No ceremony. The English, they like their ceremony. Not me, but I had to leave the country because I didn't like the ceremony. Liverpool University. Donc, notez bien, c'est pas seulement Oxford et Cambridge. Liverpool, c'est une université tout à fait ordinaire, genre Créteil, et ils font les cérémonies quand même. Hein. Glasgow. Yeah, so very much so. Strange. The final possibility. Si vous trouvez que lire 20 livres d'histoire, c'est deux fois plus amusant que d'en lire 10, you can continue for 3 years after your master and do some original research to become a doctor of philosophy. It's not philosophy. You can be a doctor of philosophy in physics or a doctor of philosophy in mathematics or a doctor of philosophy in history. Yeah. It's a very old term. It's no connection with philosophy. Ça s'appelle comme ça depuis plusieurs siècles. Alors on le garde. Et là on dit PhD. For example, if you want to work at a university, then you must do a PhD. Yeah. Like in France, yeah, you need a doctorate to do my job. And there you have the little book, How to Get a PhD. Of course, the most famous universities in Britain are Oxford and Cambridge, and they are generally rather elitist. Ce sont des universités, mais ça ressemble pas mal aux grandes écoles que nous n'avons pas en Angleterre. Okay, Oxford and Cambridge. Most of the politicians, senior judges, senior civil servants, etc., have been to Oxbridge. On dit souvent Oxbridge for the Oxford or Cambridge. So it's a little bit like the Grande École. Every year, 3,000 students go to Cambridge and 3,000 to Oxford. And so it's not a small number, but it's not a lot. Among the millions of people. So Cambridge University is much smaller in the number of students than Créteil. Cambridge University has 10,000 students maximum.
Si vous êtes vraiment, si vous voulez vraiment converser, mademoiselle, vous pouvez partir, il n'y a aucun problème. Sinon, vous vous taisez.
Ok.
Mais ce n'était pas moi, c'est lui qui a commencé.
Now, these days, more students of working class origin are being encouraged to go to Oxford and Cambridge University. Mais je dois dire, c'est un petit peu pour faire semblant. Comme ils font les recrutements des grandes écoles dans le 9-3 pour faire semblant qu'ils s'en foutent pas, quoi. C'est mon avis personnel. Okay, so a few people who are not from rich backgrounds are encouraged to go to Oxford and Cambridge University. Oxford is prettier than Créteil. Okay, in general. It's similar to Créteil, but not exactly the same. L'Université de Cambridge a 300 jardiniers.
C'est un truc, mais c'est tout.
Here are some more ordinary universities. At the top you have Sussex University, and underneath Liverpool University. More normal, more standard. Although, as I said, in general, conditions are better than in France. There's more space, there's more... C'est vrai que quand je viens à mes cours à Créteil, il y a mes étudiants qui sont assis dans le couloir. Ça se passe pas comme ça dans les universités anglaises. Il y a des salons pour les étudiants pour qu'ils se reposent un peu. C'est plus correct, quoi. However, of course, Oxford and Cambridge still recruit mostly from the more privileged classes. Et en bas de la page, c'est pas tout à fait dans le bon ordre l'information là, mais en bas de la page, les stats. Si vous prenez les 20% des familles les plus pauvres, 10% de leurs enfants auront une licence. Et si vous prenez le 20% des familles les plus riches, ce serait 44%. Ok, donc vous voyez un peu la différence. Il n'y a pas d'égalité de chance. Quoi. But it's not impossible. Donc 10% des familles les plus pauvres finissent avec une licence à l'âge de 23 ans. Non. It's not impossible, but it's much more difficult, of course. And finally, in the middle, la dernière information est au milieu. Just the same as with the schools, there are now league tables to compare the performance of universities. The other thing which is quite interesting is that in the universities in England, more and more, the opinion of the students is very important. Well, very important. The teacher must have a good mark from the students. À la fin de chaque année, les étudiants évaluent les enseignants. Hein? Not here. Pas ici, hein? Je peux être le dernier des salons, vous n'avez rien à dire, tant pis. Okay, it's life. And because the universities are run like businesses, in France, I have a job in Créteil forever. In England, it's always a 3-year contract. Every 3 years, you must justify your work and try to persuade the manager to give you another 3 years. That's the situation in England. C'est nouveau. Il y a 15 ans, c'était comme en France. C'était un titulaire, était là pour la vie. Mais maintenant, c'est que des contrats de 3 ans. So I'm hoping this does not happen in France. Last thing is that the syndicat des étudiants en Angleterre, je crois que 95% des étudiants en France sont membres. So very different from in France, of course. And the National Union of Students has 5 million members. 5 million members.
Les syndicats étudiants en France, ils rêveraient bien sûr de ça.
5 million members. And as well as organizing campaigns, they also organize a lot of social activities, music, etc. The student bar in Salford University. Of course, students drink a lot of beer in England. A lot of beer. And finally, here are some concerts organised by the Students' Union. Donc vous voyez, là c'est l'Université de Cardiff. Et le syndicat des étudiants a organisé le réveillon pour le 31 décembre avec des groupes connus, etc. Okay, listen, that's the end for today. Remember, next week, don't come. But don't forget to come the week after next. Les jours fériés, l'année prochaine.